You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Life is a procession. Everyone follows someone or something.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, give us faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, that we may step out of the procession that leads to death and join the procession that follows him to life, life that is truly everlasting. Forgive our sins, Father in heaven, for the sake of your Son and our Savior. Make us alive in the saving name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Life is a procession. Everyone follows someone or something. From the moment we are born, we seek survival, safety, security. We search for happiness, purpose, and meaning. We march according to the rules of home and of community. Some people rebel against all of that and fall in line with nonconformists, the subcultures, the underground. The pressure is always there, however, to conform to someone or something. Sooner or later, people join the procession of earning a living, joining the labor force, buying a home, providing for financial security, and planning for retirement. We join all kinds of processions along the way. We look for affection and acceptance. We dream of walking through life arm in arm with someone. We are part of a family, a community, an association, maybe a church. As we go along, we get tired. We grow weaker. We struggle to maintain our health so that we can keep up with the procession. We run to the doctor, the drugstore, the health spa. Sometimes we block our own movements forward by the way we eat and drink and smoke. Sometimes we feel that this is the only way we can deal with the tensions and pressures of keeping up the pace. The procession of life leads but to the grave. We like to think that we are always moving forward and upward, that our world is progressing, that we are achieving and gaining something. We even imagine that we're fashioning our immortality by our work ethic, our good life, our financial success, our legacies. But everything turns out to be only for a day. We are all on a death march. Life is a painful procession. We get disappointed and hurt along the way. Some become cynical, negative, and destructive. The world is full of people who have dropped out of the procession. They languish surrounded by four walls, in hovels or homes or hospitals. They walk only by their dreams, out of touch with reality, out of step with life. Most people, despite the hard knocks, look for some cause that will make the procession meaningful. The options are plentiful. Pleasure, material goods, the business firm, children, a career, knowledge, education, and personal fulfillment of various kinds. There are also public causes that attract people, most of them negative, anti-this or anti-that. We all need a cause to pursue, a banner to fly, a Lord to follow. Whether we like it or not, we process through life, following many a will-o'-the-wisp, We often turn that wisp into a god. We devote ourselves to our own best interests. That's what the Bible calls sin. Selfish, reckless, short-sighted, and faithless following of our own imagination. A procession which turns out to be defiance of the living God, very often in disregard of everyone else except ourselves. We process through life with a lot of twisted goals and distorted values and warped standards. We march along arrogantly, desperately, unrealistically, making ourselves or someone else Lord, whoever it is that will let us have our own way. A lot of people will resent what I've just said about processions. One or the other of those processions is the one they've been following. To have that called sin sounds like an attack on themselves, or what they consider good and even right. Actually, it's just a description of the world as it is, the world in which all of us have to live. It's just as the prophet said it would be. He said, "We have turned everyone to his own way. We have all gone astray." It's just as the apostle said it is. There's no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory God has a right to expect of each one of us. There is one of us, who did not go that way. With all of the pressures of conformity upon him, he went his way. It turned out to be the way of a cross, but he went his way, the way his Father asked him to go. He started a big procession. A procession of true life. He was on his way. When they drew near to Jerusalem, many spread their garments on the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed be he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that is coming! Hosanna in the highest!" It was a time of showdown. It was a day of reckoning. It was the end of the road. He was about to face the ultimate test of life. What was his walk all about? This was it. It was one last temptation to follow the usual procession of public adulation, of personal achievement, of political power. He came into Jerusalem, and the crowds loved it. They praised him, not knowing exactly whom they were praising or for what reason. There was no cross in their eyes. But there was a cross in his. He began his life rather obscurely, a child of simple folk, a product of a history filled with frustration, punctuated along the way by hope. He began a 3-year ministry that turned out to be a walking with the helpless and the hapless in the world, those who had been shunted aside or trodden underfoot, those who had nothing to look forward to. He processed with the oppressed, the sick, the suffering, the guilty, and the dying. Those who would follow, he led along the path of faith, love, and service. That was a new kind of way, and a new walk, the way of committing one's life to God, the walk to the cross where he offered his life for others. That's how he came to Jerusalem that day. Most of the people were still walking the same old way that day. They had personal and political ambitions. They were ready to make Jesus their king, hoping that he would get in step with their goals. But he did not. The procession continued all the way to the cross where he died. Isn't that the way everyone winds up? Dead? Well, not exactly. He was killed. That's what people do to one another as they process through life. They trample one another to get ahead, to get to the top. People have been known to want to live so much that others will have to die so that they can maintain their pace. And that's why he got killed in Jerusalem. He died there that day on a cross for all those people who are on the way to death themselves. He died for all of us because we are in that procession to death. We die because we trample on God, try to take his place, do what we can to eliminate him, in hopes of elevating ourselves. God passes judgment on that presumption of men. His judgment is death. The wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ died there that day, a death of violence. For all of us who have to die, he put himself in our boat. He did that in obedience to his Father. I have come, he said, to do the will of him that sent me. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, passes judgment on human sin, and his judgment is death. He passed that judgment on to Jesus, his Son. He visited our sin and guilt on his Son. That's why he got killed. Jesus did not have to do this. He did not have to die. Of all men that ever lived on the face of the earth, he did not have to die. He offered up his life. No man takes my life from me, he said. I lay it down of myself. He had a mission in life. He came to show his Father to people, to make real on earth the mercy and forgiveness of God, to give the stumbling and bumbling masses of people a new procession to follow, a way to walk with humility and dignity and nobility, to free them from the procession toward death and ruin, and to make life a procession of joy and hope and victory. To do that, he had to die in their place. Otherwise, the madness would have remained on the throne, and the power of gladness could not be released throughout the world. God, his Father, confirmed what he had done by raising him from the dead and from the grave, that the procession might begin and might continue right into eternity. A new procession follows Jesus Christ. It isn't that people achieve life by joining the procession. They join the procession because they have achieved life through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They call him Lord. They follow him. He makes life worth living. In him there's forgiveness and life. People who found that out for themselves no longer shuffle along in the old and dying processions. They enjoy the new procession. They have a new profession of faith in Jesus Christ, that he is Savior and Lord. The people in this procession have confidence. They are certain of the forgiveness of God. And they have peace with God, knowing that they have been put right with him for one reason and one reason only. Jesus Christ died for them. That assurance, that confidence, that living hope the Bible always calls faith. It keeps telling us man is put right with God by faith in Jesus Christ. It keeps saying that faith works by love, something like the love of Jesus Christ himself. The procession of Christ has a lot of people in it today who live by faith and love, all because of Jesus Christ. The people who walk that way are the church, the pilgrim band, marching to the beat of God's word in response to his Holy Spirit. They're great people of all kinds, tall and short, rich and poor, educated and uneducated, executive and working men, teacher and housewife, young and old, men and women, boys and girls. They process, constantly strengthened through the truth and encouragement of God's word, by the living hope they have because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, by the constant renewal of their lives day by day through the forgiveness of God and the assurance of his never-ending love, and by their fellowship with one another in faith and love. They walk with Jesus Christ. He is Lord. They have no other Lord. They follow him. You can be one of them. Jesus Christ is for you as much as he is for me. He died for you the same way he died for me. You don't have to be someone else to follow him. Be yourself. Whatever it is in your life that needs forgiveness, that's what he forgives. Have faith in him and enjoy his forgiveness. Have faith in Jesus Christ and enjoy his life. Have faith in Jesus Christ and walk with him in love. We are told of one of the men in the Old Testament named Enoch, that he walked with God. That's about all we know about him. He must have been an unusual man. He just walked with God. I've known people like him, however, and they've always been great. You won't find their names on the front pages of the newspapers, but they're great. They know what it means to walk through the dark valley, as Martin Luther translated the 23rd Psalm. They're able to say, "Yea, though I walk through the dark valley, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." It's great to be in the procession where you can say, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Walk confidently, my friend, with God. Walk by faith in Jesus Christ and walk with God. Walk with people like Paul, who came to know God in Jesus Christ and could say with complete confidence, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else at all, will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are never cut off, but always with God. That's faith. God's gathering his faithful people together. He gathers them together for the great rendezvous of history. The day is coming, a great day. Even now he's preparing for it. The procession of Jesus Christ is headed toward that day, the day of the Lord. On that day, Jesus Christ will be disclosed in all his glorious splendor. Now he calls for your faith and your love. He promises you life. His procession is the procession of life. God offers you this day a new walk. Spread palm branches before him with a new understanding that the old procession leads but to death. This one leads to life. Blessed be he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that is coming. Hosanna in the highest. Walk with Jesus Christ and know the joys of new life in him. Celebrate. Give thanks. Offer worship. Share what you have. Process in the life with the blessing of the one, the only one, who comes and travels with you. In the name of the Lord. Amen.